I wanted to shout this out now because, I mean, I guess it kind of fits in here, but we got nominated for a podcasting award.
Yes, the 2019 Discover Pod Awards, to be exact. And Nick, how the fuck did this happen?
I am
please
blown
tell me.
Away. And you know what? I'm going to take credit for it because I really feel like it's the use of the Loisauce sound drop. I think that it's just connected with everyone out there.
You're not my dad.
See, he just connects with everybody on that level. But I don't know how it happened. All of a sudden, I started getting blown up on social media, getting tagged from other podcasts like Ignorance Was Bliss, like Girl in Space, Varmints, Paul Chomo Ate Bugs for Cancer Research People, and our amazing, amazing friend who we absolutely love, Emily Prokop, of The Story Behind and Hate to Wait.
I sucked a dick last night.
Emily.
Jeez.
But I know Emily nominated us, and somebody else nominated us too, or whatever the case may be, but we're finalists, Justin, and we're finalists in a category against, like, Pam and Angela from The Office. The Office Ladies podcast is in the same category. Like, it's amazing to even be listed in a category with some of the other shows that we're nominated with. Absolutely blows my mind. But if you haven't voted yet, by the time you're hearing this, please, please go to our social media. You'll find links to it everywhere. Discover Pod Awards. We're in the TV and movie category. Vote for us. Like, imagine if we won. Imagine if we won and we take Loisauce and a fresh pack of ankle-length socks to an event, and we just throw those socks out of the crowd. We'll make Loisauce sign them or something, I guess. Maybe. I don't even know. I'm getting ahead of myself, probably, but yeah, the look on your face
says it all.
It's
okay to dream. It's okay to dream, though, Nick.
It's
amazing,
though.
I mean, it really is.
And everybody out there that has voted for us, and everybody out there, whoever nominated us, and whatever else the case may be, like, we are eternally grateful for any support that we get on this show. We are a tiny little indie podcast. We just chug along like everybody else. Like, we put the hard work in. We've been doing this for a long time now. And it's just like, even if we don't win, it's just like some kind of validation of our efforts, like all the hard work that we have put in for a very long time. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And if you haven't voted, like I said, just head over there and vote. We would appreciate it for literally forever. And we will send you Loisauce. I already said this on social media, but we will send him. You have your way with him for however long and send him on his way.
Do whatever you want whatever with him. Happens. Take him out to dinner. Feed him some McDonald's if you
definitely
want.
McDonald's.
I mean, I know he likes that. In this movie, if they put any children in danger, you'll see the children in danger, but you won't see them get beheaded or an axe go into their skull, or their eye popping out of their head. You won't get any of that with a PG-13 rating, and if you do, it'll be a cutaway shot.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode, a Monday-sode of the Epic Film Guys Podcast. I am your host, Justin, and I am joined, of course, by the God of Podcasting.
Hello, Justin. How are we this evening?
I'm great. I actually just made myself a pre-workout sparkling water PBR cocktail in order to get myself prepared for this episode. I know that sounds delicious, right? That sounds... yeah, like
sounds like something the Hopester would drink.
I mean, I'm at that point right now. The light beers, the light drinks, I'm just kind of I'm just rolling with it, bro. Like, I mean, I feel like if I drank a stout right now, it would literally kill me. I'd be on the floor dead like the Hopester. But we're not going to be talking about beer tonight. We got some movie related content. Again, this is our Monday episode. So this is the part of our 2-episode split where you're going to get all of our banter, all of our talk about movie-related news, trailers, epic previews, and whatever the fuck else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Saucy?
That's about the size of it. Shall we kick off with a little discussion of Disney Plus, which is all I see on my news feed right now. People talking about Disney Plus, Disney Plus, The Mandalorian, Disney Plus.
Star Wars. Star Wars. Star Wars. Yeah, I mean, you yourself, you dug in early. You said last night you actually downloaded.
Yeah, I stayed up until like 2:30, or it was like 2 in the morning, to watch The Mandalorian. And I've also dug into High School Musical, the musical, the series already as well, which I guess I'd consider myself a fan of High School Musical. I was in middle school when the first one came out, so it was kind of my thing at the time. I have watched the first episode of the series, and I've decided that this is not my thing. I think I'm too old for it.
Oh, it really took you watching that first episode to make up your mind about that? I mean, just watching the trailer alone led me to believe it's not for me.
I think the first three films collectively, like the first three, well, I say first three as if there are more, but like the three High School Musical films, the trilogy, are collectively a better trilogy than the Godfather trilogy.
I really don't know what to say to that. I don't know how to respond to that statement, Brian. I have only watched, I think, in parts the first one. But so, High School Musical related stuff aside, The Mandalorian, I haven't got a chance to watch it. You're totally right. Like, it's trending literally all over Instagram, all over Facebook. It's all I'm seeing people posting about. Everyone's super excited about it. And it's funny because I'm actually seeing more people excited about the fact that they can watch Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, the original Fox X-Men series. It seems like those are the things people are talking about the most on my feed in comparison to like the shit that I'm excited for. So, I mean, as soon as I woke up, I'm like, I wanted to wait to get.
You're not excited for Gargoyles?
Well, of course I am. I haven't watched it in like 25 fucking years. But as soon as I woke up, I wanted to wait to get the Hulu bundle because I have Hulu now. I decided to cancel that, and then I was going to get the Disney Plus bundle. And I mean, at $12.99 or whatever the hell it is, I'm like, with that, everything else they're including, which I didn't even really know much about. I'm like, I know there's Star Wars stuff on there and The Mandalorian. And bro, when I downloaded it and it worked for me, I was in shock. As the avid 4K enthusiast on this show.
Oh, here we go.
I could not believe the titles they are offering. Brian, your favorite trilogy. Fuck the High School Musical trilogy. Your favorite trilogy of all time. The Tim Allen Santa Claus trilogy has been remastered and presented in 4K Ultra HD with HDR. I mean, what could be better than that? We're just in time for the holiday season.
You can't make a lump of coal into a 4K Ultra HD HDR lump of coal.
Oh, but they did. They did, Brian. And you know you love the scene where he takes his kid to Denny's and he looks over to the other dads and they all have their hand burned or something went wrong. Oh, turkey burned. Yep. You love that scene. But the Santa Claus aside, I mean, dude, the Muppet Christmas Carol, I tested it out. It looks beautiful. What shocks me about this is the fact that Disney kind of kept this under wraps. This was not part of the public offering of information to people when they were getting interested in Disney Plus that, hey, listen, guys, we're going to have like a shit ton of classic movies. Who Framed Roger Rabbit in 4K? You want that? You're going to get it. Hocus Pocus? You're going to get that. It's just insane to me the amount of titles that they went through and they actually restored.
Yeah, it's very impressive. And, you know, looking at the overall selection, it's pretty varied. I mean, I would like to see more classic Disney included, but you know, they've added some of their classic cartoons. You have Mickey Mouse Through the Mirror and the old mill and cartoons such as that I remember from my childhood. So that's exciting. You use the phrase under wraps, which reminded me that there are a lot of great Disney Channel original movies included in Disney Plus. Under wraps is not one of them though.
Ha.
I liked that one with the mummy.
I thought they were going to have, I thought that was one that was mentioned, but maybe I'm wrong. But the big talking point, of course, for me at this point is it's a big surprise that the OG Star Wars films are presented on this platform in 4K Ultra HD.
Not the OGs. HDR. It's the special edition.
The special edition OGs, Brian. The special edition. I was actually just having a discussion with some of our friends and peers in the Hopester's Dumpster before we recorded about those versions that are available for us. But I ain't gonna lie, man. I tested Empire before we got on the show, and it looks fantastic. And of course, I checked a little bit of The Force Awakens as well, because that has yet to be released on 4K Ultra HD at home video, you know, in stores either. So for me, that's probably the biggest selling point as a fan is all these titles on 4K.
Well, yes, they are the Blu-ray versions, essentially, but they are struck from new 4K scans. They did make one change that's been...
Yes, they did.
been a point of contention on social media. They altered the Han and Greedo scene in A New Hope again. So remember in the Blu-ray version where they had, like, they digitally, like, moved Han's head so that he was dodging the blast from Greedo?
I like to try to forget that, Brian.
So they still keep that in. But this time Greedo says something. What does he say, Justin? You have it written down.
McClunky.
Yes, McClunky, which has already become a meme on the internet. But so he says something, I guess, in his alien language. I don't know if it's supposed to be a swear or what exactly. Why they felt the need to add that, I have no idea. And it just goes to show that George Lucas will never stop tinkering with these movies. This was actually, according to Pablo Hidalgo, this was actually a change that George Lucas made in preparation for a theatrical 3D re-release that never materialized. So even as recently as, you know, a couple years ago, George Lucas was still tinkering around with these. And it makes you wonder if Disney will ever release proper versions of these films, the original versions, as they were released in, you know, the 70s and 80s. It's amazing that we have this wealth of content, and it shows great care that Disney is offering these films in, you know, remastered format. And the entire series of The Simpsons as well. Amazing that we get to, you know, enjoy and relive all those great Simpsons episodes. So it's like they care enough to remaster these great works, but they don't care enough to give them in the original intact versions. The Simpsons episodes are cropped. They're 16 by 9. The originals were 4 by 3. So it's almost like they've, like, zoomed it in and cropped out, like, you know, the frame in which jokes used to exist. And now we don't see them anymore. So it's a sad state of affairs because it's like you want to just, you know, tell it on the mountain, like, and just exalt, like, thank you, Disney, for giving us all of this stuff. But you also just kind of want to ask them if they can deliver them in
versions
that we deserve, you know?
Here's the thing. I hate Disney. I want them to burn to the ground. But right now, they've brainwashed me. They've made me happy. They said, hey, little boy, come into this van. We know we've poisoned you before. Now we're going to give you more. We're going to lure you into this van. It's actually basically what the Hopester does. I mean, he lures people around the corner and then he gets them to, you know, bite off the tip of his dick and all this kind of crazy shit. But that's what Disney's doing to me. That I can't, I hate them as much as I love them. They're giving me something, a wealth of greatness at my disposal. But at the same time, they rule the world and I hate them for it. So, I mean, and I totally agree with you on the Simpsons thing. The first thing that I tested on the app today, because as soon as I got it, I was at work and I'm like, I'm going to test something out to make sure it's working because everyone's bitching that this app is not working. They're freaking out. They're bitching and moaning and whining just like everyone always does on the internet. And first try, I watched the Simpsons Christmas special. And it worked perfectly. And I was like, okay, so that's weird that it's in widescreen. I was like, maybe is that because it's just on my phone? And then when I got home and got the app on my TV, I started watching it again. I'm like, no, man, they just stretched the shit out of that. And I do think that the remasters look good for the show. I mean, especially that early stuff, which is very rough animation. But it really upsets me to not see that original aspect ratio. I mean, that would be like taking any show from that period. I mean, a lot of streaming platforms have done it before with lesser known shows, or I guess lesser loved shows, I should say. And they just expect people not to care or just to ignore it. Or, hey, it's new. Maybe it's some new young audiences that don't remember that, you know, TVs used to be in a squared shape, you know, a rounded squared shape and not a widescreen format. So that was disheartening. And I'm hoping they fix that. I mean, I feel like that's something that Disney has. The Simpsons is one of the biggest things that they own that they got, you know, when they purchased Fox. So I hope that they take care of that.
I hope so as well. Until then, I'm going to be enjoying, you know, And you have some things that you could watch for Never Seen It November on there, Justin.
I've got lots of stuff on there that I can... I mean, I don't think I've watched the Santa Claus 3 all the way through, so I think that's going to be...
You don't have to. You really don't have to watch
I mean,
that.
But... I mean, it's the. I'm almost starting to get in the Christmas season, Brian. I mean, it's freezing cold right now. We're part of this Arctic blast, they're calling it. That's going to sweep the country.
I am freezing my tits off at the moment.
Are you going to show me, or are you just going to talk?
I mean,
about it?
I could no.
I mean, you know that I like to show you mine
all the time.
But yeah, man, so it's getting colder. I'm feeling like I'm the Christmas spirit is starting to, you know, surround me and everything.
It's already, Justin, it's already November 12th. How is that possible?
I don't know. Halloween was already 12 days ago? No. Though I did watch Treehouse of Horror 2 while I was testing out Disney Plus, so I'm still in the Halloween spirit as I always am. But on the subject of Christmas, a little film that we talked about a few months ago when a trailer landed and I shit all over it for the brand new remake of Black Christmas, which doesn't really look like a remake to me, from Blumhouse. You texted me earlier some disheartening news, Brian.
Yes, the Black Christmas 2019 remake has been rated PG-13.
Okay. I don't have a problem with horror movies being PG-13. We've seen at different times in history, they can be entertaining. They can be a fun time at the movies. I don't think this movie is going to benefit from this rating, especially after watching the trailer. What did I say to you? Do you remember what I said to you? You probably don't, do you?
Remind me. Refresh my memory, Justin.
Jesus. It's like talking to a brick wall. What I said was, this looks like a decent generic slasher. As long as the gore and the kills are there, I'm fine with it. It doesn't need that title. It doesn't deserve that title as far as I can base off from what I'm seeing. But I'll give it an open opportunity as long as it's a good bloody Christmas slasher. Give me some mean-spirited kills. And now, it's PG-13, which basically means I'm not getting any of that shit.
Yeah, it's rated PG-13 for violence, terror, thematic content involving sexual assault, language, sexual material, and drinking.
Let me guess. The movie will be about a girl that was at a party that drank too much, and then a guy tries to get with her, and then she'll consider that him attempting to rape her, and then at the end of the movie, all the girls will be badasses and kill that guy.
Well, probably, yes.
I mean, in today's political climate, social climate, with you know, the push for strong, empowered women, I feel like that could be the way they're going here. But
which is fine, but it's not. It's no longer Black Christmas at that point, really.
It could be fine if it were R, and I was going to get my blood and gore and some sick kills. I mean, it looked like there'd be some cool kills there. I'm even more disappointed with the fact that they're, I mean, dude, seriously, it's Black Christmas. It's,
I mean, there have been some pretty good, you know, PG-13 horror offerings recently. I mean, Happy Death Day, you know, there were,
which I loved. I loved the first one. I mean, but it did lack in the kill department. And I think that this was something that I felt like could really benefit from kills. Good ones.
I will watch the movie, but it is a disappointing rating. Not saying that PG-13 or horror movies can't be good, you know, or that it has to be R to be good. You know me, Justin. I love my gore.
I mean, in this movie, if they put any children in danger, you'll see the children in danger, but you won't see them get beheaded or an axe go into their skull. Or their eye popping out of their head. You won't get any of that with a PG-13 rating. And if you do, it'll be a cutaway shot. So, no, we don't like that. Sorry, Blumhouse. I'm still going to see it. It's just another reason why I'm down on that movie. But another giant piece of horror news that landed this last week was a new fifth Scream movie is in the works. And this kind of came out of left field because they did just do a new season of a Scream series that was produced by Queen Latifah's company over the summer, which was not good. It was not good at all. In fact, it was pretty much a giant pile of shit. It pretty much took everything out of it that we love about Scream, except for the fact that they brought back the original Ghostface costume, and they brought back Roger Jackson as the voice of Ghostface, which was definitely welcome. But the rest of it had really bad characters, very poorly done, and it underperformed. So it's surprising that after that, they're announcing another Scream movie, which... I don't know, Brian. Did they say if they said they don't know if it's going to be connected to the original characters, right?
I don't know for sure. This could be a complete reboot, or it could just be Scream 5. I'm not exactly sure, but I don't know how to feel about this, Justin, because the first four movies have one through line, and that's Wes Craven. Wes Craven's no longer alive, so...
There's also something else that's there that they also reported is not part of this as of right now, and that's Kevin Williamson. And we've seen throughout the first four movies, the one movie that sticks out like a sore thumb, the black sheep of the group, is the one that lacks the most in all of the different categories, the one that Williamson didn't write, which is part three. And you can't totally blame the whole movie on the fact that he's not included, but the movie sucks. It's awful. I mean, I get shit-faced, pissed drunk on whiskey, and then I watch that movie, and then I wake up in the morning and have even more of a hangover because of the fact that I watched it when I was wasted. So I'm actually kind of excited. I think there's still a lot that can be done with this, and I'm kind of cautiously optimistic and open to seeing where they go with it. I think there are a lot of things they need to think about when keeping into the mythology and what makes Scream work. And, I mean, I kind of almost want them to use new characters and not have it connected to the other ones, because, you know, that story is already done. Sid's story is done. I mean, I'd love to see Neve Campbell back and all of the cast back again, but I just don't see that happening. So we'll have to see. I'm open to it, but the key thing is it needs to be R. It needs to be meta. Ghostface needs to look like Ghostface. And it needs to be bloody as shit. I mean, if all those elements are there, I'm definitely open to it. We've seen what could be done with Halloween. We've seen what could be done with other franchises when the right people are behind it. Wes Craven not being around definitely has me a little worried, but whatever, dude. It's at its core, it's just a fun slasher movie. And I think if they get the right people in the corner, you know, they can make it work.
You have to wonder, like, you know, Scream 5, if they bring back all of the old characters, like, you have to wonder why they haven't been killed yet. If it's been five movies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, poor Randy, everyone's favorite character, he got killed off in part two, unless they could just be like, you know, shoehorn and retcon something and be like, he didn't really die and make Randy the killer. Whoa.
But that would suck.
It would suck. Yeah, and also Jamie Kennedy was in one of the worst movies that I've seen this year, which was Trick, which I didn't even talk about on the show.
He was in that?
Yes, he was. He played a doctor. And at the end of the movie, he's supposed to be an evil doctor. And he looks really bad for his age. He looked like he aged horribly. He's like going bald. He gained a lot of weight. He just looks like he parties constantly. No, no hate, Jamie. I know you're like in your late 40s or whatever you are. I love what he's done in his career. I love a lot of stuff he's done. But that movie was a gigantic failure and piece of shit. And one of the worst movies I watched for the Epic Film Guys 31 Day Horror Challenge. Huge disappointment. I remember texting you and being like, well, this was one that got away. But
well, I mean, it's from the same filmmaking team as My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Dude, which is good.
Yeah, so you would hope for, you know, you would hope for success when you have a talented filmmaking team behind it, but didn't turn out so well, I guess. I didn't honestly watch it. You told me not to watch it, so.
I guess that Damien Leone's Terrifier really has set the bar for independent slashers. I mean, I really, at this point, if it's not as good as Terrifier, that means it's a failure in my eyes. Make it brutal, make it mean-spirited. If you're going to try to make it a throwback to 80s slashers, watch
no
that movie.
No CGI blood.
That's a number
I'm
one.
I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of it. It's really not hard to have, you know, throw some, you know, red paint on people. It's fine.
Yeah, do what they did in the 70s. Get, like, bright red fucking ketchup and splatter it all over the chick's tits, and, like, then she's dead. There you go. Bright red.
I don't know what that is, because if you if you spend so much time and energy and resources to make it like a throwback or to set it in a certain era, and then you have CGI blood, it just takes you right out of the movie. I feel like you would care more than just like, we'll do it in post.
And usually when it's a movie of this caliber with a low-ass budget, I mean, that means that the CGI blood's going to look even worse. So you're telling me that CGI is going to be cheaper than them just getting, like, a blood packet and having someone squirt it in front of the camera? Nah, man, come on. It's just you being lazy. But all that aside, all that news aside, it's been a while since we've done this segment, and since this is our Monday-sode, and we're talking about all things movies, we're going to jump into a little segment we like to call
Epic Previews.
In the world of Endicott, New York and Herndon, Virginia, two Epic Film Guys dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call Epic Previews.
Two trailers to talk about today and during Epic Previews, and I'm going to throw this right over to Loy Sauce for a trailer to one of his favorite franchises of all time. Brian, what are we talking about?
Well, I think you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit there. I love Scooby-Doo. I recognize that Scooby-Doo is very rarely good, but, you know, it was a formative show of my childhood. I loved the idea of these kids and their dogs solving mysteries, often having to do with the supernatural and the spooky. But the show is very crudely animated. A lot of times there's a laugh track, and the jokes are really corny, and the laugh track does nothing to to help the humor of the show. Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, of course, as we've discussed, is the greatest film to ever be made by anyone. So anyway, there have been countless iterations of Scooby-Doo. Really, Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island is the reason why. There's never been a time, or there hasn't been a time, at least since 1999 or 1998, where there hasn't been some Scooby-Doo show running, you know, or the movies haven't been released direct-to-video once a year, once per couple years. So now we are getting a CGI animated Scooby-Doo reboot origin story movie, which I think is a great idea. You know, you have the screenwriter Kelly Freeman Craig, who wrote The Edge of 17, which I loved. The animation looks, you know, great. It's very faithful to the original designs of the characters while also making it modern and new and fresh. The movie looks horrible.
Yeah. And I know that the movie is made for children. I mean, make no mistake. I think this is that kind of movie where they're going to try to get just enough in there for the parents that grew up watching the original show and to be able to sit through it and deal with it while their children enjoy it. It looks really kiddie. Really, really kiddie.
Yeah. Well, Scooby-Doo is meant to appeal to children. Like, that's like my, that Brian, was like my gateway to horror, you know?
I know, but it's still, like, when I was a kid and watched Scooby-Doo, which I did every Saturday morning back when I was a kid, a lot of the ghosts and stuff, that stuff scared me. Even though I knew at the end of the show it would always end up being a guy in a costume, it still would scare me. And I was like, the imagery, though crudely done, was always still spooky. And I always loved it for that reason. This doesn't look spooky at all.
Well, we still might get that. The thing that I struggle with is that it looks like there's like aliens and robots and shit in the movie. And I mean, Scooby-Doo has gone up against aliens before, I guess, but it just, to me, it just seems very far removed from Scooby-Doo. And I get very worried when I hear that what they're trying to do is set up a Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe. I swear to God, I read an article about Tracy Morgan being cast as Captain Caveman and Ken Jeong being cast as Dino Mutt Dog Wonder. So they're like scraping the bottom of the barrel for like Hanna-Barbera properties that they can tie into this movie to create some sort of like branching universe, which sounds like the dumbest idea ever.
But Brian, isn't that what every movie studio has done or has attempted to do with their franchises and characters?
Well, most of them have been massive failures. So
There was already a Yogi Bear movie with Dan Aykroyd. Yeah,
yes,
that was
awful.
A thing.
Yes. I just foresee this movie straying so far away from the core of Scooby-Doo and what Scooby-Doo is meant to be that it disheartens me very greatly. And also, the jokes in the trailer are very cringy and bad. The trailer is supposed to be your best foot forward and to show the audience, hey, here's something that you might like to pay money to come see in a theater. Don't put an IKEA joke in your trailer.
Also, IKEA joke, awful. But that aside, why are they playing, Brian, why are they playing outdated, like, 10-year-old dance music in the trailer?
Also, they show the moment where Scooby and Shaggy meet. I guess they meet and Scooby's a stray. And the police officer who's chasing Scooby asks Shaggy, oh, what's it like if he's your dog? They basically rip off Annie in this scene, but he's like, if he's your dog, what's the dog's name? And he's like, Scooby, because he sees like he's eating Scooby snacks and the box is on the ground. I thought that I could be wrong, but I was under the impression that Scooby snacks weren't actually called Scooby snacks. That's just what, you know,
That's just what they gave him.
I didn't know that you could go to the store and buy like Scooby snacks. It doesn't, I don't
they're
know.
Rewriting, they're rewriting the mythology, Brian. It's, you know, aside from that, I think the character designs are okay. I saw a lot of people comparing Fred to looking like Ken from Barbie and Ken and Velma looking like Barbie and stuff like that. The voice cast actually seems pretty solid. I don't like at all how Shaggy sounds whatsoever.
They should have got Matthew Lillard back.
And you claim that Frank Welker's been voicing Scooby-Doo for a long time.
Oh, yeah, decades.
Oh, I haven't watched or heard Scooby-Doo in a long time, and I don't really care for how he sounds in this trailer. Again, I'm not the target audience here. I mean, Zac Efron's going to be Fred.
I don't think that Scooby's like sounds too different or bad. I just think they have him speaking way too much. He's speaking like full sentences in this trailer, and that's kind of unnerving to me. I feel like Scooby should not have lines and lines of dialogue. Like, he should, you know, do his dog thing and say Scooby-Dooby-Doo. It's just weird how he and Shaggy are communicating using full sentences. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But
it probably is. But moving along from that to another kids franchise, the brand new trailer, after all of those fans complained, all of those fans rioted in the streets. They said they were going to burn their Sonic the Hedgehog video games. They said they would burn their Sonic the Hedgehog action figures and stuffed animals and t-shirts. They said if you didn't change the design to make it look like the video game and the original cartoons, they would commit suicide. That's right. And then what happened? The studio went in and said, to appease these fans, we must spend millions of dollars and change the design. I'm talking about the brand new trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Justin. I mean, you have people, first of all, when that trailer hit, I think there was just a collective gasp of shock and horror when the design of Sonic the Hedgehog was unleashed upon this world. They gave Sonic, like, human teeth. They took away his gloves and his, like, uni eye. He has, like, the one eye. It's like not separated, but anyway. So they made him look like a realistic hedgehog, which is not is not the way Sonic should look ever. Like, I think we're all fine with the fact that Sonic doesn't look like a normal hedgehog, right? I mean, I would imagine so. We want Sonic to look like Sonic.
Yeah, it's an animated character. It's a video game character. It's a cartoon. It's fake.
Yeah, so now that the studio has heard the outcry from fans, like people who, well, fans and non-fans alike, but especially fans of the character who say, what you've given us, this isn't what we love. It's not like we demanded them to change it, but I feel like they felt the pressure. Like, if we release it this way, people won't come see it. It'll be off-putting. The fans will be angry. So I'm of the impression, or I'm of the mind, that what they did was the right thing. They moved the release date so that the animators could have time to finish. Well, I say finish, practically redo the animation from scratch. They moved the release date, and people are like on the internet saying like, oh, this sets a dangerous precedent. Like the fans are running the movie studios. And I personally think that they had integrity to say, you know what? You're right. This looks awful. We're sorry. As a peace offering, we're going to redo this, and we're going to, you know, try again, try harder, and give you a better looking Sonic.
It just shocks
me. I think Sonic
me.
Looks as if Sonic should look in this trailer. So
exactly.
Already
he
looks
great.
Better.
He looks great. He looks like Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, that's as flat, you know, that's as flat out honest as I could be. What shocks me, Brian, is how they couldn't just do that in the first place. Why meddle with it? Why play around with it? Why not just go, that's what Sonic looks like. Let's make him look pretty much like that. Like, the redesign was awful in every single way in the first place.
And you wonder how it got past, like, pre-production, principal photography, post-production.
No, honestly, though, the question is, Brian, do you think this redesign will actually make the movie more successful financially? That's really the question.
I do. I mean, I don't foresee this movie being like a huge box office hit. It might make money. I think people will be interested to see. I mean, there are tons of Sonic fans on the internet that I encounter, and I want to see it for Jim Carrey. I think Jim Carrey's just hamming it up in the trailer. It looks like he's having a great time. So I'd like to see it for that. There's still some cringy stuff in the trailer, but that shot where Sonic's like running across the Great Wall of China, that's a pretty cool shot. I want to see what Sonic can do, you know? And it's also weird to me, and I wasn't expecting to hear this, but Sonic as I guess an alien in this movie, right? Because he says like that he's going to another planet.
Yeah, that's right.
So Sonic is an alien, I guess, now. I wonder if that was part of the original
version
of the film.
But
it's bizarre.
I mean, for me, like, the redesign looks cool, but this trailer landed completely flat for me. I didn't laugh once. It didn't really seem charming. It didn't look very cute to me. I just want to see Sonic running around very fast and catching rings. That's
well,
all
sure
I really want to see
some
him do.
Of that too.
I know. And what I was really hoping out of this was I really wanted to see a huge return to form for Jim Carrey. And it looks like he's trying. It looks like Jim Carrey is doing 90s era Jim Carrey stuff. And the little thing with him dancing, I'm like, okay, you made me smirk a little bit there because you're kind of back at it. And I never thought he would ever go down that road again. So, I mean, because I just want the dude to come back. I want the dude to come back and be Jim Carrey again in movies and big movies and stop doing whatever the hell he's been doing. He did do a series, which I heard was really good, and I haven't checked it out, so I can't really hate on that. But I want to see him in big movies again, in comedy movies. So if he's good in it, that's all I'll really take away from it. So new redesign, people seem happy. I literally saw someone post today, I love the movie already just because of the redesign. I'm like, okay, dude. I mean, those are the fans that, you know, the studio really wants to make happy, and I get it. I don't know what precedent this is going to set for, you know, future movies, future studio ideas and decisions like, oh, well, maybe we should just listen to the fans. And
Lord knows that many, 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 many films have been made without giving a shit about what the fans think. So, I mean, I highly doubt that this movie will change anything, you know?
I mean, we'll have to see. Like I said, they spent millions of dollars, pushed it back, redesigned the character just for the fans. The majority of the general public was going to see this piece of shit anyway, so it didn't really matter what Sonic looked like, but, you know, now Sonic looks like Sonic, and everyone's happy. So there's that, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of Epic Previews. Loisos, you got anything else for us, buddy? You got any other movie-related stuff? Did you like The Mandalorian? You said you watched the first episode. Tell us, come on, do you have any thoughts at all? You're kind of, look at that face. You look confused.
Yeah, no, I think it's a solid start. The series opens with a bar brawl, and it's, you know, it's badass. And that's exactly what I wanted from the character. You get the sense of mystery, but you also get glimpses of his past. You have, you know, Werner Herzog in a Star Wars series, which makes me very, very happy indeed. Carl Weathers, You get, you know, some cool creatures. It's very much in the style of a spaghetti western set in space.
Ooh, yeah, that kind sounds of great to me.
Very Clint Eastwood-esque character. There's a little bit of marking time. Like, it kind of sags towards the middle portion of it, which for only a 38-minute episode, it kind of concerned me a little bit. But once Taika Waititi's bounty hunter droid comes into the proceedings, it really picks up. And I was very intrigued by the ending. And I wondered where they're going to take it next. Got me excited for the next episode. So, I mean, not a 10 out of 10 for me. Like, it was interesting. It was good. But it didn't, like, blow me away or anything like that. I enjoyed it.
Well, I guess that's a better start than a bad one.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. I will definitely be watching more.
I myself am excited to dig into it deep and watch all the rest of the 4K Ultra HD titles on Disney Plus. Yes, Brian, the Santa Claus 3. I will watch it just for you.
Okay. Have fun.
That'll be your Christmas gift, is me watching that movie. But that's it for our Monday sode, as Nick coined it. Nick unfortunately could not make it. I don't know what Nick's doing right now. He's hiding, he's doing something more important, or he's just getting groceries, or maybe he's seeing Midway. He said he was going to see Roland Emmerich's Midway, which actually did take the box office this last weekend, not Dr. Sleep, which is the movie we're going to be talking about after the fact. You're going to hear this after that. So for our listeners out there, if you have not yet voted for us, the Epic Film Guys podcast has been nominated, is now a finalist for the 2019 Discover Pod Awards. If you want to show some love, go on over to our page. We have a link there. Go ahead and give us a vote for the best movie and TV podcast for the year. We would greatly appreciate it. And Loy Sauce, we're all over the internet. We're everywhere on social media. Where can our listeners find us if they haven't already found us there?
They can listen to the Epic Film Guys podcast wherever they listen to good podcasts or bad podcasts. Podbean, Spotify, iTunes. Feel free to subscribe to us and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. You can also find us on social media at Epic Film Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
That is correct. So until next time, I'm Justin.
And I'm Loy Sauce.
And we'll see you
at the movies.
Put that sock away, Loy Sauce. Just put the sock away. We're not that done yet. Please, put the sock away.